All right, everybody, time to get the hell up. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. What are you doing still in bed? Get up, get up, get up, get up. Move it, move it. 1-2, 1-2. Time once again for the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And here I am in Chicago, in beautiful, sunny Chicago. The rain has ceased for the moment, and the weather is calm, clear, and collective, but not the nation. Hi, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, and I am the voice of the working man, thinking man, and I am here to answer the musical question, yo. Yo. How's everybody doing? I am just sitting here and trying to go over everything that's going on. There's so much going on, and you know, the truth of the matter is I can't keep up with all of it, and I read the blogs and I look through everything, and just sometimes my mind just frazzles. Does yours do that? You just sit back and look at outrage after outrage every single day and wonder what to do anymore, what the hell can be done. You just wish this nightmare would be over, that we can get some sense of normalcy back. I don't know if we can anymore, to be perfectly honest. And the Democrats were, and people complain about the Democratic leadership, and I shared some of their complaints, but the fact of the matter is they face such a huge, huge uphill battle on every single front, because there's nothing they're going to do that's going to be considered just authentic or real or not phony by the press. And the press is just going to outright lie about stuff. For example, they're saying it's the Democrats who are filibustering this measure to try to get the troops out of Iraq, which is just completely and totally nonsense. You might as well, you know, have them saying, well, you know, the Democrats are out there saying 2 + 2 = 5, and it's like, wait a minute. And then they go and say, well, of course, we know the 2 + 2 = 6. We can't have that. So when you criticize Democrats, remember what they're having to go through, because, you know, everything they say is considered to be phony, political, you know, gamesmanship, showmanship, trickery. Well, of course, the phony Republicans are all authentic. Fred Thompson is authentic. He's a tough guy. He's a real tough guy. He's an actor, for Christ's sake. Okay, he used to be a lawyer, so what? But he's an actor. I mean, his image. You know, and the Republicans learned from the Nixon thing, you know. And by the way, that's not true, that if you heard the debates, the Nixon-Kennedy debates on the radio, that Nixon won, which is just more crap by Republicans and conservatives just lying like they always do. God almighty, how often they lie, and how often do they just get away with it? Because they're so bold in it. People hear something like that, and they think, you know, they couldn't possibly be saying something so blatantly wrong if they didn't really believe it. The Democrats have no clue about how to fight these people, because these people, the Republicans, the conservatives, their financial backers, all of them, they're just power, playing power politics. I mean, that's really all they're doing, and they're using any means necessary. It's like when they were in the majority, they did everything they could to stifle any kind of opposition. And now that they're in the minority in Congress, they're doing everything they can, and you know, they're just single-minded, and the Democrats simply don't understand that. They don't understand that they're playing by two different sets of rules. Let's for example, okay, the Democrats are sitting there, like if you're a sports team, they're sitting there figuring out strategies, how to best go about, you know, on offense or defense and doing all their different things. The Republicans, meanwhile, are trying to figure out how to shoot down their airplane while it flies from city to city to play the games, and how to buy the referees, and how to tilt the playing field to their advantage. That's how they're doing stuff. And the Democrats don't understand that. And maybe, you know, that for that they can be blamed, but they can't be blamed for how the press treats them. They can't be blamed for that, because at every single turn, whenever they try to do something, the press, especially the television press, just says, oh, they're just a bunch of phony politicals. They're so phony. We don't believe anything they say. Look at, he said he wanted to have peace in our time. Well, that's not the right phrase. They said they want to that they want the war to end in Iraq. Don't they know that they're causing terrorism that way? And well, somebody pointed out that on satellite radio, the left wing area, because they have like little sections, the left wing area is called Radio Left, and the right wing area is called Radio Patriot. Since when are Republicans patriots? Since when have Republicans given a damn about America? Not since, you know, not since Teddy Roosevelt left the party. And that's the plain truth. Lincoln cared about America. Teddy Roosevelt cared about America, but ever since Roosevelt left and they got taken over by the corporatists, well, they haven't given a damn about America. What they're about, what they've always been about since that time, for the last century or so, is about how to separate people from their money. And it's outrageous that they get this name, this image, that they're the only one, the true patriots, they're the ones who really do the military, blah blah blah, really care about the soldiers, blah blah blah. Gee, the GI Bill, did that come under Democrats or the Republicans? Was it liberal Democrats that took the fight to Hitler and Mussolini? But Toho. Was it liberal Democrats that ran that war and won it? And wasn't it Roosevelt that said, this is something that the whole nation needs to get on? And he made Republicans a big part of what was going on, and he didn't just disinclude them like the Republicans have done the Democrats. That the Democratic Party has to understand, but the leadership has to understand, what Harry Reid, what Howard Dean, what Nancy Pelosi has to understand, is these guys don't play by the same rules, because they're not interested in rules. Rules are something that just get in the way. And they're going to continue to do anything they can, so long they're going to do anything they can get away with, basically. And for the press, for the most part, lets them get away with it. I was thinking about what Michael Moore was saying in his movie Sicko, and I said this yesterday, but I'll repeat it, damn it, because it's my radio show, and if I want to repeat it, I'll repeat it. But when they had the shot of the old lady who had just been basically dumped out of the hospital because she couldn't afford to pay for coverage, he asked, "Who are we?" And whenever I think of the movie Sicko, whenever I think of all of the movies that he's put together, it reminds me basically of Jacob Rees' book, Where the Other Half Live, of the book The Jungle, of all the things that have spurred enough outrage to force dramatic social change. And I'm wondering if we're even capable of that anymore. Have we gotten so cynical? Have we gotten so skeptical about anything that we simply can't accept that things can change, things can get better? I wonder about that, because the big money people are already coming after Michael Moore, and they're using tools like CNN, and Moore said that CNN is going to become, he's going to become their worst nightmare, and I hope he really goes after them, because that's really the next target, isn't it? I tell you what, let's if you want to talk about this, there's lots of stuff to talk about. If you want to talk about this or any other issue, give me a call. The toll-free number is back in operation, 1-877-443-2366, so you can call the non-toll-free number if you so desire, 304-658-5453. We'll be back with more of the Head On Radio Network here with the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans, tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm not so humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies, by the anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366 for the toll-free number, and 1-304-658-5453 for the non-toll-free number. And, you know, we always encourage you to use the non-toll-free number if you possibly can. You know, really, long distance is kind of a myth nowadays, because so many people use cell phones and everything's done via satellite now. There's really no such thing as long distance, is there? But they still charge you for it. I mean, even internationally around the world, it really takes as much energy to send a phone call to Zimbabwe than it does to send it to, you know, to the place next door. I was talking earlier about how nothing the Democrats do is going to be portrayed in the press in any sort of positive light. And in fact, it's been kind of a known that anything that happens, regardless of what happens, it's always being viewed as good for Republicans. You know, if we get another terrorist attack, oh, it'll be good for Republicans because people know that Republicans will keep them safe. And you wonder, what in the hell has to happen for them to stop thinking this way? Now, I realize a lot of it is just simply because these people make tons and tons of money, and they know that if they say the wrong thing, then they lose that job, they lose that salary. Who was it that said that, you know, it's hard to get a man to believe in something when his paycheck depends on him not believing it, him or her? I mean, that's a very important thing, and it's something that people don't realize. I mean, you know, you have situations where, and especially if you're someone who just broke into that, and you're starting to make some decent money, and you're not used to it, and, you know, and you pile up debts. And I was talking to Bob Kincaid about this some time ago, and he was talking about how we have a society that's designed to keep you in debt, basically. To keep you not necessarily poor, but to keep you subservient to that salary, to that paycheck. But I was listening to all this, and I'm thinking that I was reminding myself of a post I made some time ago on my blog, and, you know, I don't even bother with my blog very much anymore. I post maybe once a week. Who cares anymore, right? But I was remembering a news article. What I did was I created a fictional scenario, and I imagined how the press would cover it. And the fictional scenario I imagine is what if you know, George W. Bush at a press conference simply called a reporter out, had him come up to the podium there, and then put a gun to his head and blew his brains out right in front of everybody. What if that were to happen? Let's say that was the facts. That was what actually happened. For the sake of argument, And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying Bush is going to do that. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that that's what he does. He just goes out and says, hey, you know, Timmy boy, come here, or whatever, you know, whoever, somebody out there in the audience, somebody he's not necessarily fond of. And he just, you know, comes up, the guy comes up, and Bush pulls a gun out from behind the podium, blows his brains out right there. Now, how would the press cover that? My thinking is that, there, first of all, there would be the administration supporters who say, I'm glad, because, you know, it's time, about time we took these liberal media press people to task. He should shoot more of them. Yeah, David Brooks will write a column like that, no doubt. And the other press will say, well, there was a shot, but no one's really sure if George W. Bush fired it. No one will come out and say, you know, George Bush murdered somebody on live television, or even if it wasn't on live television. No, George Bush murdered somebody in the White House press room today. And then some people, you know, this is a bold move for the president to show that he's finally being aggressive in his war on terror, and, you know, showing he's got the... Makes you want to throw up. It makes you want to throw up. And somebody will say something about it, and there will be Wolf Blitzer saying, well, we fact-checked what this guy said, and we found out that, you know, he spelled wrong with two O's, and therefore he's completely wrong. But if you look at the text, you see I didn't even spell wrong at all. It was spelled correctly. Oh, yeah, we don't trust you. What is it going to take? What is it going to take? Throw them all in the dock. As far as I'm concerned, at this point, they're complicit. After 6 years of this, you'd think they'd finally wise up. But you know, they're not wising up because, you know, every newspaper, every television station, every radio station in this country is owned by a grand total of five companies. And all the CEOs of those five companies are heavy, heavy, heavy Bush supporters. And you wonder why we can't get a word in edgewise? Now, granted, you know, Democratic politicians are to be blamed to a certain extent for not fighting back strongly enough, but really, if they did, what would it matter? If they really were to bring up charges of impeachment and kick the... Let's say they were successful, that they had enough of a majority to kick them out, you know. They'll have nothing but Republicans on TV whining about how unfair all this is. I mean, that's the state we're in today. And I did a headline for a New York Times from 2032. And it's actually, if you go on the main page of my blog, cupofjoe.blogspot.com, it's there now, and it says that the title of it is Humbled U.S. Awaits World Verdict. And, you know, the history of it is rather shoddy, you know, talking about, you know, future wars and stuff like that. And the premise is that Europe and the rest of the nations of the world finally said enough is enough and ganged up on the United States and took them down militarily. Frankly, that's not going to happen, and then the reason that's not going to really happen is because we've got so many nukes that insane boy, or whether it's Bush or some other insane boy we've got, Republican we've got in power next time, is simply going to blow everybody to smithereens. He'll kill everyone first. If I can't have this world, no one will have it. And if I die, well, I'll just go up there to God in heaven, and God will give me a pat on the head and say, you did good, boy. Because I know I'm working for God. Glenn Greenwald, in his latest book, I forget the name of it, doesn't matter. Just go to his damn website. At any rate, he just talks about how, you know, that's the scariest aspect about Mr. Bush, about his religious certainty that he's doing the work of God. Is he really doing the work for God, or is he just saying that? Which is scarier? And then I just go back to my old canard. Just get him the hell out of office. Let's work on the psychology later. Get him out of office. Get him in prison. Put him on trial before the world on charges of war crimes. And if necessary, execute him. Frankly, I'm against executing. Even people like Bush. I'm against capital punishment myself. I'm only for it if we're really, really going to strictly apply standards and really stick with it and not just use it as an excuse to kill people we don't like. But at the very least, get him the hell out of office, so that they don't make the world worse. And that's what these people do. They make the world stink. And what they don't realize is that they make it stink for them too. I'm not even just talking about the environment, but the type of life they have to lead in order to maintain that wealth and power. I can't imagine anybody being happy with that. Just one thing after another, always constantly looking over your shoulders. And I'm reminded of the movie Goodfellas, when all the guys just basically were stealing stuff. You know, that's how they made their living. They stole stuff. They needed money, you rob a truck. And they were living the high life, man. They had lots of money. They had lots of stuff. But look at the price they paid for it eventually. Always looking over their shoulders, never knowing who was coming after them. You know, Martin Scorsese made three movies essentially about the same cast of characters. He made Mean Streets, he made Goodfellas, and he made Casino. And really, if he's going to do another one, he really ought to do one about the Bush administration, because it really is the same type of deal, just on the next level. With Bush as maybe the Robert De Niro character, and Cheney as the Joe Pesci character, the crazy one. Though I wouldn't, you know, none of the characters that De Niro played were much smarter and much, you know, Bush is just the front man, like so many Republican presidents have been since Roosevelt's time. In fact, I think everyone except Eisenhower and Nixon have been nothing but fronts for corporate interests. And Eisenhower really, you know, was considering running for either party, and he could have. And he was well-liked and well-respected as a president, and was a great, great general. And people forget that. He really did the right thing by Europe, and he did the right thing by Japan afterwards, with assigning Douglas MacArthur, even though the MacArthur was an elitist little, I can't say the word, but he did the right thing by Japan, MacArthur did, and I'll give him credit for that, even though he was a jerk. Okay. At any rate, and Nixon, of course, was basically the leadership of the party. They were all following him down, and of course one of his big guys was Dick Cheney, who believed in the power of the imperial presidency. And are we working our way towards some sort of Caesar, some sort of dictator? Certainly Bush believes he is. I mean, he'll sign a thing, you know, rather than veto something, he'll sign it into law, and then he'll write a little signing statement saying, you know, if I deem it unnecessary, I'm just going to disregard this. I'll just disregard it. And he's ordering his people not to honor subpoenas. Harriet Myers is supposed to be the latest one. She's saying, no, you subpoena me, I'm not coming. What? Where is the press on this? You absolutely cannot refuse a subpoena like that. You can go there and plead the fifth to your heart's desire. But you can't, you know, even under executive, there's no executive privilege that covers that. And the Democrats don't know how to handle it. It's like I'm saying, they absolutely have no idea. Because it's not the type, they're assuming that the Republicans are going to play by the rules, and the Republicans are not playing by any rules. The only rules they're playing by is, I'm going to do whatever I want, and if you want to stop me, you'd better put a gun to my head, metaphorically speaking. Hey, we're halfway through. Let's take a little break here. The number to call in, if you want to call in, please, somebody call me. Talk to me. What the hell is wrong with you out there? 877-443-2366 or 1-304-658-5453. Call me, damn it. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. After 6 months of negotiations, Southern California supermarket workers with Vons, Albertsons, and Ralph's stores say they are tired of waiting. Since March 5th, the region's 65,000 supermarket employees have worked without a contract. Although they say they don't prefer it, they say they are willing to strike if they do not sign a new contract soon. Leilani Albano has more on the story.
After months at the negotiating table, grocery workers earlier this month threatened to walk out of labor talks for good. Michael Strader is president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 1442, in Santa Monica.
Clearly, enough time has elapsed for the parties to reach an agreement. However, the employers are playing hardball with the union negotiators.
But after a war of words, both parties are back to labor talks and announced last week they are edging closer to an agreement. In the meantime, the union is making preparations for a work stoppage, just in case. So far, they have collected 100,000 pounds of grocery for the workers' food fund and raised millions of dollars in strike money, says Chris Zazueta, a 20-year Ralph's worker.
I could only hope that the corporate CEOs have the common sense to come to the table with something that's fair and equitable for all employees.
For an extended version of that story, visit laborradio.org. Iraqi workers are protesting a proposed new oil law. Doug Cunningham reports.
The Iraqi Federation of Oil Unions is leading protests demanding that the Iraqi parliament reject the proposed new oil law. The union says the law surrenders Iraqi sovereignty to multinational oil companies. According to the union, under the proposed law, Iraq will lose control of its oil. The Iraqi Federation of Oil Unions says that will lead to social progress being curtailed. The Federation is calling for complete withdrawal of all foreign troops from Iraq. The Federation called a strike in the oil fields June 4th, and it says it's prepared to strike again to defend Iraq's nationalized oil system. Iraqi oil resources have been in the public sector since the 1970s. The proposed new oil law, essentially drafted by the United States on behalf of multinational oil companies, opens up two-thirds of Iraqi oil to foreign control. Passage of the law is one of the conditions imposed on Iraq by the U.S.
Here is today's economic report. A new study finds that America, once the tallest population in the country, has been losing ground. Since World War II, Americans have fallen behind the rest of the world when it comes to height, and some economists believe that could be bad news. According to the Associated Press, economists suggest that height is a good measure of a population's well-being. Tall people are healthier, wealthier, and live longer. A shorter population is an indication that children aren't getting the care they need. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
And short people got no reason to live, I guess. I should talk. I'm 5'2". Good Lord. Well, you know, WIN's News, and I should have said we were going to WIN's News. WIN's News is great, and I love having them on the show here. No offense to Quality News Network, but the last couple of days they sound like news from Daleks. What the hell's going on with the audio there? Exterminate! Exterminate! I didn't even think about that. Shortness means a lack of some sort of deficiency in taking care of kids. What the hell does that say? I have no idea. I always assumed it's just genetic. We all start breeding the tall people to the tall people, and we'll finally get, you know, we'll get these 8-foot monsters, and they'll all join the NBA, and it'll all be boring, and it'll still suck. Talking with people in the chat room here. By the way, if you want to go into the Head On Radio Network chat room, just go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the live chat link. And you can go and talk to some of the smartest people on the internet. I'm there, of course. Our good friend Bob Kincaid, who's producing the show today, is there. Cobwebs is there. Our good friend ELO is there. And Rama just showed up. R-A-M-A, Rama. So, but I was talking, and Bob Kincaid was pointing out, and it's basically true that the Republicans are basically daring the Democrats to use force, which is the only way they're really going to react, you know, at this point. You know, if they want them to have a subpoena, they have to put them under arrest and drag their ass over to Congress and sit them in a seat and make them answer some questions. Imagine if they did impeach Bush and Bush refused to go. What would they do? You know, what would they do? I mean, really, and really, you know, Rama is in the chat room suggesting that Congress should just stop funding the administration. You know what? They'd find some way to get money. Hell, they're busy stealing it from the Iraqi people anyway. While oil may not have been the primary reason to go in there, you can be damn sure it was pretty high on the list. Cheney had distributed this list of where all the oil is in Iraq before we invaded. And now, you know, if you listen to the tone of the press, well, it was Bush's bungling of the war. No, the entire war was a bad idea to begin with, and we can't seem to get that through people's heads. And, you know, what does it say about our country that so many people just blatantly supported it? That we'll get scared out of our wits because of 9/11, which could have been prevented, and which would probably have been prevented if the Democrats had fought, and if we had fought harder to get Al Gore instated into the White House instead of George W. Bush. Hell, the Onion newspaper, of all papers, got it right after Bush got in there. Saying, you know, now, you know, the headline was our long era of peace and prosperity is finally over. And about how, now that Republicans are back in charge, you know, we're going to be declaring war on somebody pretty soon. And sure enough. And I was thinking about, you know, Imperial Rome and stuff like that, and how Imperial Rome got their money. Basically, they got a lot of their money by just invading a new country and taking their money, taking their loot. New emperor wanted to do something to prove himself. That's what he had to do. But even so, even at that point, I'll give the Romans credit because at least the emperors tended to lead the damn armies and were there in combat, and some of them died in combat. Can you imagine Bush leading a group of people in the combat? I can't. He'll let other people do it. He'll talk a big game. So will Dick Cheney. So will Rush Limbaugh. So will all these people. But they won't go out and fight themselves. They won't send their kids to fight. They'll send your kids to fight. I remember watching Fahrenheit 9/11 with my lovely late wife, and she was crying. She was crying. And what she was crying mostly about is she was worried about her kids, who are all of age to be drafted, it came down to it. And she was worried, you know, my God, what if they get drafted? I mean, that's a scary thing. But Bush's daughters get to sit there in limousines and flip off the press. You can be sure they're not going to be asked to make any sacrifice. After 9/11, we were simply told to go shopping. For Christ's sake. Go about our lives. Go about your business. Nothing to see here. What's gone wrong with us? And here I said, I was looking at my budget. I was telling Bob before the show. I said, I'm looking at my budget here. I said, I figure I can break even with my current salary. I can break even in about 6 months if I don't eat. And here I am still doing the show, and people say, why are you doing the show? You're not getting any money out of it. Well, I do it because I have to do it. Somebody's got to do it. For the few thousand of you listening out there, if we want to win this thing, we have to, and it's going to be time-consuming, okay? All this talk about the blogosphere is going to do this, and the Internet's going to do that, blah, 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 yeah, sure, it is going to do stuff, but not right away. It doesn't happen overnight. Even the Republicans, with all the money in the world and all the political backing that they had, it took them 30 years to get to this point. They didn't start overnight. And we have to think in the same way. What we're doing right now is we're building infrastructure, slowly but surely. And we have some politicians who understand that. Governor Dean, head of the DNC, understands that with his 50-state strategy. And I've counseled, said, look, you know, for the moment, simply just assume the South is going to be a totally Republican. Simply assume that. Okay? I mean, I'm not saying we can't change things in the future, but for the right now, let's concentrate our strategy elsewhere. Because we can change the South eventually. Eventually. It's just going to take time, that's all. But if we concentrate on, you know, the coasts and on the Midwest and on the mountain areas, you know, the Montanas and Wyomings and places like that, then we could take back control of the country a little bit more permanently. And then work on the South. But I was saying, if Al Gore had been president, there would have been no 9/11, perhaps, because at the very least, I'll say this about Gore: if he got a memo that says Al Qaeda determined to strike in U.S., Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S., he would not have gone on vacation and just ignored it. Absolutely not. And certainly, if 9/11 had happened on his watch, and of course, you know, the Republicans would have blamed him for being soft on crime, soft on terrorism, blah 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 blah, the whole nonsense. If 9/11 hadn't happened under Gore, he certainly would not have declared war on Iraq. He would have concentrated on Afghanistan and Pakistan, and hopefully might have actually captured Bin Laden and brought him back for trial. And you know what? Bin Laden's won. Because he understood. I think he understood better than anybody else that all he had to do was egg us on into doing something stupid. He said himself, you know, he told his supporters that if this were to happen, if the terrorist attack were to succeed, that America would attack an oil-rich Arab country, which is exactly what we did. I don't want to say we fell for it. Hell, you know, for all I know, Bin Laden and Bush could be complicit together, could be working together. He could be an operative. You never know. I don't know. With these guys, with all the secrets they keep and the way they run their stuff, you never know for sure. After all, we gave Bin Laden the training, we gave Bin Laden the weapons. That was under Reagan and the first Mr. Bush to fight the Russians in Afghanistan. And then he turns around, what do they call a blowback? So, you know, we're responsible for Bin Laden just like we were responsible for Saddam Hussein. Gee. And what are we going to do about it? That's my question. What are we going to do about it now? First of all, it's time to start boycotting the press. It's time to start boycotting the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, Fox News, certainly. Fox News ought to be disbanded as far as I'm concerned. Let them keep the network. I mean, they do a good job on their regular network stuff. I mean, it's kind of crassy, but, you know, it's network television. Who cares? But keep it out of the news, for Christ's sake. We got to start taking over the Democratic Party, slowly by slowly, bit by bit, town hall by town hall, and put real people in there. We're taking steps along that direction, hopefully, slowly, surely, but it takes time. Don't expect stuff overnight. Let's take our last break here. Last chance to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4 head on, or the non-toll free number 1-304-658-5453. Once again, it's your last chance. Doesn't anybody want to talk to me? Don't you want to talk to me? Nobody. We'll be back with more Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise. prize.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can grab off our website over at progressive.org. We're getting it done. We're putting impeachment back on the table. Howard Dean didn't want us to talk about it. Nancy Pelosi didn't want us to talk about it. But millions and millions of American citizens have understood that we've got criminals in the White House. And the way we apprehend those criminals constitutionally is by impeachment. So now, at least some Democrats are coming around, led by Dennis Kucinich in the House, and most recently by Barbara Boxer in the Senate. Last week on the Ed Schultz program, Barbara Boxer insisted that impeachment should be put on the table, saying the Constitution doesn't permit us to take it off the table. And she warned, check this out, that this is as close as we've ever come to a dictatorship. Strong words, but true words. So thanks, Barbara Boxer, for uttering them. And thanks, Ed Schultz, for banging the impeachment drum. And thanks to John Nichols and to David Swanson and to AfterDowningStreet.org and ImpeachCheney.org and World Can't Wait and all those towns in Vermont and elsewhere that have gone where most politicians have feared to tread. And that's to the constitutional imperative of impeachment. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Hear it? Better yet, do you feel it? That's what Night Sounds is all about, and I can't wait. I'm so ready. He's going to change the way we hear music.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, sticking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Last chance to call in. Number to call in, 877-443-2366. And if you've got an item of news that you want me to talk about on the air, as much as I can get around to it, just drop me a line at joe@cupjoe.com. Maybe one of these days, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, that I'll be able to do this properly for a living, and I'll have a proper research staff and have all these things lined up to talk about. And of course, hopefully, I'll do longer than an hour show. Not that I mind doing just an hour for now, because you know it's tough. Because you know I do work for a living. You know I do have to go out and work, and it's hard for me to. And of course, while I'm not looking for work, or while I'm not working, I'm actually looking for work. Because you know my current job, like I said, I looked at my finances, and if I don't eat for the next 6 months, I could break even. You know that's how bad it is, and I can't catch a break any way, shape, or form. So, you know, you do what you can, you keep fighting, you keep struggling, you keep surviving, and, you know, maybe some good things will happen, maybe some bad things will happen, who knows. But I get upset when, you know, and it's the usual complaint, you know, the Democrats are, you know, such a bunch of damn tight fists when it comes to their money. And I just get sick of seeing it. George Lakoff is right. The Republicans will, will give $1 million to an organization. The right wing will give $1 million to an organization and say, do what you need to do. The left wing will give $50,000 and demand accountability for every single penny. You bought 2 packs of paper clips when you only needed one. What's wrong with you? You're spending our money. They're talking about impeachment in the chat room, and it's like what we're just talking about. It's like, what happens if they do impeach and Bush just refuses? What are we going to do? Will the police stand? Will the courts, first of all, defend the Bushies and say you can't do it during wartime? But it's not a wartime. Well, you can't do it anyway. Does that sound like Ethel Merman to you, Bob? Bob Kincaid's saying, I sound like Ethel Merman. There's no business like show business. That ought to be the Republican mantra, actually. For all the stuff that they talk about hating Hollywood, they sure do get a lot of Hollywood actors to be president, don't they? Now we're looking for Fred Thompson. Oh, you know Fred Thompson there. He's the authentic thing. He's real cowboy boy. He go just like George Bush was a real cowboy. He go out there and cut that brush, yes sir. But John Edwards, who fought for people, why, he's just a phony. Dang nabbit, he's just a phony. Like Al Gore. Al Gore is just crazy. You know, he's just crazy. That club, that ain't getting no warmer down here. What you talking about? It was cold last week. And the media is not going to talk. You know, the press is not going to talk about impeachment. You know, they were going crazy over Clinton. Well, you know, he had a blowjob, so naturally we got to go out there and we got to pin him down. And we got to get, because it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. He came in to mess up our town. It's our town. Dang, dang it. Rahm is saying that if Congress impeached, convicted, and kicked Cheney, Bush out of office, and they refused to go, he'd be happy to march on D.C. What would that do? What exactly would that do? I'm sorry, listen, I appreciate your enthusiasm for all that, but what has marching accomplished up until now? I talk about not just marching, but I'm talking about let's shut the whole country down. Never mind marching on D.C. Let's march to your home. You want to show everybody who's the motor of the world, ladies and gentlemen, you just go on strike, all of you. Take an entire month, not do anything. The only people who should report for any kind of work are really important people, doctors, nurses, police, fire, that sort of thing. Other than that, everybody, show them who's in control, for real. Shut down the whole economy. Do it for a whole month. No retail stores, no supermarkets, no nothing. Nothing. No fast food joints. No work. If you're going to storm any place, let's have riots in all the Walmarts and just take everything out of there. Mass lootings. They've been stealing from us from ages. If the law doesn't apply to everybody, it applies to nobody. And if Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney refuse to comply with it, then I see no reason why we should comply with it. But that's how I feel. What are we going to do about it? Because the Bush people, the Republican leadership, their financial backers, they're criminals. And the only reason they're not in jail is because the power structure is there right now to protect them. I wrote an article several years ago called The Ceausescu Moment, because Bob Kincaid mentioned Nicolae Ceausescu in the chat room there. And I was remembering Nicolae Ceausescu, who, for those of you who don't know, he was the head of the communist leader of Romania. And he was given a little speech somewhere when suddenly the crowd turned on him and started booing. And they had a video of it, and he just looked up in shock because no one had ever booed him before. Within hours, he was deposed, a hasty trial set up, and he was shot. I don't want it to come to that with George W. Bush, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want any of this to come to pass. I don't want any of this to come to pass. I don't want a violent end. I don't want any kind of nastiness. I don't want any kind of violence. I'm totally against it for the most part. But I just don't know what else we can do. Because these guys aren't, you know, it's not like they're a principled opposition saying we believe in something and we're going to stand up for it. No, they're just like, we're going to do whatever we can We're going to do whatever we can get away with. When the founding fathers built this country, they built a system of checks and balances, hopeful that people's ambitions would balance each other out, that the power of the Congress would balance out the power of the president. And an imperial presidency was a scary thing. Just the idea of having a single executive was scary for them. When the idea of an executive and the purpose of the executive was to execute the laws passed by the Congress and the Senate, by the House and the Senate. And it was suggested that the executive be a single person. And I remember reading about that, James Madison's notes, saying there was a silence filled the room. Everybody understood that the single executive meant Washington because everybody trusted Washington. But the implications of it were very, very severe. And finally, General Washington, who was presiding over the Constitutional Convention at the time, he said, well, should I bring the motion to the floor? What's the deal? And Benjamin Franklin said, I'd like to hear what people have to say about it. Because there were several different versions of what the executive were going to look like, whether it would be one or three. When I was talking with Bob Kincaid about the old Roman system, was set up and kind of thought of the same way, the old Roman Republic. You had two consuls, you had two people in charge. But eventually you started having civil wars. We've already been through one civil war here in this country. Will it take another to put an end to all this? And after a while, won't people just say, we're tired of this, we want somebody that's going to give stability? What is it, the old joke that Bill Cosby said about parents, and when talking about screaming kids? The parents don't want justice, they want quiet. And people, after a while, people say, we don't care who was right and who was wrong, we just want peace and quiet. And if that means installing an emperor and giving up our rights and freedoms, well, then so be it. That's what we're leading up to. Is it going to happen? I hope not. I gotta stop ending these shows on such depressing notes. Damn. Go out there and have fun today, people. Go out there and enjoy yourselves. Do the best you can. Still keep fighting the fight, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself in the meantime. Because if there's one thing Republicans hate more, it's for people enjoying themselves. They absolutely can't stand the fact of people having a good time. But that's it for the show today. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network. Our good friends Bob Kincaid and Agnes Kincaid running the show from the board out there in the studios in West Virginia. Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news that's going on in the Gulf Coast and Katrina. America Back on Track with Tony Seaton follows on all of your Head On Radio Network stations. Until tomorrow. This is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show and the Head On Network saying, hey, hey, get back to work.
I'm on a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of John. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Shawn. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Yeah, da 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 da.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Core Muslims. doesn't have to be the way it is. It doesn't have to. It can be so much of a better world if it just weren't for a bunch of selfish SOBs who wanted everything and just don't care. And who don't care who they kill. And they're having parades for killers. I'm not talking about a soldier who did something during the war. I'm talking about a guy who shot a doctor in cold blood because of disagreement with... And of course, you know, they did it because it was in favor of the culture of life. Because we know how what the abortion debate is all about. That life begins at conception and ends at birth. For all these people, give a damn. Where was George Wilson and Drew Heiss? Where were they when the victims of Katrina were dying in New Orleans? Probably having a good laugh at it. That's what they were probably doing, laughing, enjoying. Because that's the only humor these people have. That's the only, you know, they talk about us liberals don't have a sense of humor, but what they mean is we just don't like to laugh at people who are being kicked, metaphorically speaking. Or in some cases, literally. We don't laugh at the Matthew Shepherds of the world when they get killed. We don't think that's funny. We don't think lynching is particularly funny. But they do. And because we don't laugh that way, well, we don't have a sense of humor. They're sad people. They're very, very sad people.